for the moms who raised us up, gave us love, and made us strong. For the praying moms who don't always know what to do, but always know who to talk to. For the hurting moms who've loved and lost, but never given up. For those who never got called mom, but who cared for us all like a mom would. For the young moms who became moms sooner than expected and gave it all they had. For the single moms who tirelessly and courageously learned how to do this on their own. For the stepmoms and the stand-in moms who rose to the occasion and loved us well. For the working moms, the stay-home moms, the cooking moms, and the takeout moms, thank you. For teaching us how to walk, how to learn, and how to make a difference. For taking care of us when you barely had enough time to take care of yourself. For comforting us when we felt alone and afraid. For lifting us up when others put us down. For the rides, the meals, the laundry, and the birthday parties. For the years, tears, laughter, and love. It's not enough, but we want to say thank you. Doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. We love you. We honor you. We remember you today. Happy Mother's Day.
Let's give our mothers a hand again. The book of Ruth. Go to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. You got Genesis, you got Exodus, you got Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. It should be the seventh book in your Old Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, then it's going to be on the screen there for you in just a minute. Now, last Sunday, we dealt with a mother, a lady, by the name of Rahab. How many of y'all remember Rahab from last week? Well, I got to thinking. I said, well, this is Mother's Day, and so let me see if I can find another one of these ladies to tell you about. And I found one in the book of Ruth. But now, before we go to chapter number 2, I must tell you some things about what happened in chapter 1 so you'll get the story in chapter number 2. And I'm going to try to fast forward without us having to read all of chapter number 1. But I want to tell you, there was a fella, a dad, by the name of Elimelech. Elimelech and his wife's name was Naomi. They had two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. This is all found in chapter number 1. Now you say, how do you know you're saying those names right? I don't. But Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion, they were living in a place of Bethlehem, Judah, a place of a Jewish heritage, a place of God's blessing. And all of a sudden there was a famine in the land. And when that famine in the land hit, the dad, Elimelech, says, well, we need to go down to Moab. We hear there's a lot of bread, food. There's a lot of restaurants down there. And so he took his family out of the place of blessing, out of Bethlehem, Judah, and took them to a land that worshipped other gods. They stayed down there in chapter number 1 for 10 solid years. These two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, they married women of the Moabites. I'll tell you a little bit more about those Moabite women a little later, but they were not believers of the God of heaven. And they married those ladies. But one of those names was a lady by the name of Ruth. We're fixing to meet her in just a few minutes. But while they were there, these 10 years, living in a land of Moab, Elimelech died. They had a funeral. So they go from a famine to fleeing, and now they're at a funeral. Not only did the dad die, but then later, shortly after that, the two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, they died. They spent more time at the funeral home, more time eating potato salad. From everybody that brought potato salad over, they had all these funerals. And now the only two people that you have left is a lady by the name of Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Naomi wakes up one morning and says, Ruth, we have been in a famine. We fled from the place of blessing, and now we have been to funerals upon funerals upon funerals. I think it's time to go back to our land of heritage where God was blessing. Amen. Naomi says, Ruth, now you stay here in your own land, or you can go with me, whatever you want to do. I don't know what you're going to do about a husband. You lost your husband. You're an outcast. You're a Moabite. You're a Gentile. You know how Jews, if you move to this Jewish town, you know these Jews ain't going to take too well to these Gentiles. But you're welcome to go with us if you'd like to. Ruth says, I believe your God. Wherever you die, I want to die. Wherever you go to church, I want to go to church. The God that you serve, I want to serve. Ruth says, I'm going with you. I don't care how they treat me, I'm going with you. Now, this is a story of redemption. And now these ladies, Naomi's lost her husband. Ruth has lost her husband. And they've left them in debt. They've left them in poverty. They've left them in a place of no bread. They've come back to this place and they don't know where their next meal's coming from. The process of redemption works like this, ladies and gentlemen. The process of redemption works like this. If your husband dies and leaves you in debt, if you can find a next of kin, a kinsman redeemer to come in and buy back all that you lost. Now, the story of redemption. I know you're saying, you're looking at this going, okay, we're supposed to be giving a Mother's Day sermon, and this is about Naomi, and now we're already looking at our watch going, what we're going to have for supper and lunch, and you're talking about Naomi and Ruth, but I'm here to tell you, you better be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in you in this picture. Because by the time this sermon ends here in about an hour and a half, you're going to see. See, that woke some of you up, didn't it? Redemption works this way. The word redemption means to buy back. I'll give you, for instance, before we read Ruth chapter number 2. A little boy handmade, hand-carved a little wooden boat. And matter of fact, he put that little wooden boat, and on the bottom of it, he carved his initials in the bottom of the boat. He took it out to the little creek there, and he stuck it in the water just to see if it floated. It started floating, and all of a sudden it got away from the current, got behind him, got away from him. He ran after that boat and couldn't find that boat. Lost that boat. He was walking downtown doing a little window shopping. He went by the next toy store that he saw. He looked in the window, and he said, you know what? That's my boat. He said, I'm going in there to that store owner. I'm going to tell him, give me my boat back. He walks in there and says, mister, this is my boat. He said, son, I don't know what you're talking about. I bought this boat from somebody else, and I'm trying to sell it for a profit. Mister, listen, I got my initials on the bottom of it. And the owner of the store said, son, I don't know where it come from. I don't know what your initials are, but if you want it, you got to buy it back. The boy said, it's already mine. He said, no, it is mine. You're going to have to buy it back if you want it. Now, some of you are going, in the world has this got to do with Mother's Day? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Adam, God placed Adam in this whole world. Adam lost this whole thing, plunged everybody into sin. This whole thing started as God's. Gave it to Adam, and he lost it by eating a stupid apple. So Jesus Christ comes down to this world and says, it's mine. And the devil says, it's mine. And if you want it, you got to buy it back. So Jesus Christ has to come to this world and buy back a world that already belonged to Him by shedding His blood. That's the process of redemption. Now let's look at chapter number 2, if you're ready. Chapter number 2. And let's look at Ruth, chapter number 2. Now that I've given you the background of this story, look at chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. See, I told y'all, I was still in the Bible. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap. Now that word's an old Elizabethan term, hap, happenstance, happenings, perhaps. Her hap was a light on part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Y'all fix and love this love story. You thought Lifetime for Women only had to tell you, listen, this'll beat this. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And he answered, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel, who is that? Can y'all get me her phone number? That's what it means in the Hebrew. And the servant was set over the reapers, answered and said, it is a Moabitess damsel that came from Naomi out of the country of Moab. You don't want her phone number. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She came, hath continued even unto the morning, unto now, and she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Don't worry about going to another man's field. You just stay in mine. Y'all going to get it here in a minute. Go not to glean another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? He told his reaper, said, hey, you keep your eyes and your hands over her. She's mine. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young man have drawn. Don't even draw your own. Let them draw it for you. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I'm a stranger. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed thee. All that thou hast done in the mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come now hither. Now here's your first date in the Bible. First date in the Bible. Boaz says, hey, what you doing for supper? Y'all see it? At mealtime, come thou hither. And eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. And she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. And she took it, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her, and she reserved after she was sufficed. Let's go, Lord, in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it sure is a good story. I pray, Lord, you'd help us get the message across, get the point across here in the next few minutes. God, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, we pray it all of God's people said. Amen. Ruth. Here we have Naomi, the mother-in-law, and Ruth, her daughter-in-law. They move back to Bethlehem, Judah, a place of a blessing. We have a Jewish Naomi. We have a Gentile Ruth. She comes from the land of Moab. She comes into the Jewish city, and they come in, and don't you know, when she comes into town, they start talking about her at Walmart. And the only way that they could buy back, this Ruth is in debt up to her eyeballs. And the only way, she said, I'm going to go glean. Now, I know this is Sunday morning, this is not a political sermon, but let me just help some of you real quick because it's in the Bible. The poor folks, the farmers, Boaz on his John Deere tractor, you with me? He's plowing his field, corn, wheat, whatever it is. And let's just say their wheat, their field was a rectangular shape, square shape, whatever. So what they did, instead of doing the whole field, when they got to that corner, they'd cut that corner off and leave four corners untouched for the widows and the orphans to come and glean.
That's right.
Amen. It wasn't welfare, it was workfare. We're not going to cut it for you and bring it to your house while you sit on the couch and watch Oprah. Or The View. If you want it, come down here and get it. If you don't, stay home, starve. That's good preaching. I know we got a lot of visitors, but I just wanted to check your blood pressure. That's this in the Bible. And so Ruth is going over to one of those corners, gleaning from off of one of the corners where the widows and all the orphans are. And they're gleaning, they're working while these other farmers, Boaz has got his little John Deere tractor. And he comes around one of them corners and he says, who is that? She's new in town. And the reaper said, now, Boaz, now look, she's from Moab. She's from Boab. They don't even believe in our God down there. Hey, where she's from, they don't even know what bathroom to go into. Is that helping anybody? Down in Moab, they just confused. They don't even know. They don't even know how to tell if it's a boy or a girl down there in Moab. You don't want her phone number. Boaz says, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I don't care where she's been. I want to take her to where she's going. And so Boaz, she's over here gleaning. And this is what he tells the reapers. He said, if she slips off over in here to the main field, leave her alone. Let her get some of the good stuff too. You say, preacher, why would Boaz look at a woman from Moab and find grace and find favor on somebody like that? Well, let me ask you a question. Why would a God in heaven look down to this world and say, I want to show them favor. I want to show them grace. I want to die for them. I want to shed my blood for them and pay for their sins. Same difference. Matter of fact, Boaz got up enough courage and he said, hey, you don't come to my house tonight and eat. Boaz says, or Ruth says, are you asking me out on a date? He said, I sure am. Now, we just read it. It's all in there. Now, here I'm getting to the sermon. It's 11:23, if anybody wants to know. Boaz, pretty wealthy farmer. Long table. All his workers, his reapers. He's at the head of the table trying to paint you a picture. Ruth, way down on the other end, down there where the poor folks sit. Down there where the paupers sit. But over there in, what was it, verse 10? Boaz is sitting in a place. He's sitting of a place of being a powerful spot. He's in a place of prestige. He's in a place of prominence. But he looks down and he sees Ruth in a powerless spot. A pitiful spot. A poor spot. And the Bible still says at mealtime he reached. She wasn't so far down the table that he couldn't reach where she was. Now y'all not getting a sermon. She wasn't far enough away to where he couldn't reach to where she was. You may be looking and saying, oh, God would never say, you ain't never too far down from the table that he can't reach to where you are. She's sitting in that pitiful place, that place of poor, that pitiful, that powerless spot. And he comes down from his powerful spot, his prestigious spot, his preeminent spot, and comes down to a poor spot just to save you and me. This kinsman redeemer, I forgot to tell you. If he's going to buy back, if he's planning on marrying Ruth, he's got to be, number one, he's got to be willing. Number two, he's got to be near kin to her Jewish father-in-law. And he's got to have the moolah. All right, you didn't get nothing from that? Okay, let me see about this right here. For God to send Jesus Christ down this world, number one, he had to be willing. Number two, he had to be next to kin. I think him and God are kin. And he had to have the moolah. Matter of fact, he had so much, he bankrupted heaven and shed every bit of his blood to redeem you, to buy you back from a fallen state. He reached down to where she was. God specializes in broken things. Here's something I noticed over there in verse number 10. He reached way down and gave her her parched corn, and she did eat, was sufficed, and left. Here, let me give you 4 points. I can do it in 3 or 4 minutes, maybe. In verse number 10, we find out he reached down, way down, to a foreigner. You said, that ain't the verse. Oh, yes, it is. She said, how in the world? What was it, verse 13 or verse number 10? He said, why? She said, why have you found grace? How have I found grace in your eyes? Being that I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm from Moab. I ain't even from around here. And you have showed grace to me. You have showed pardon to me. You have given me things that you ain't given anybody else. You've taken a liking to me. Even though I'm a foreigner. Born on the outside of the covenant of God. But it didn't make any difference because Boaz says, I don't care where you come from. I'm just going to take you to where you're going. I ain't worried about your past. I'm concerned about your future. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't shout enough on that one. She came from Moab. That's where they had other gods. Other gods that they worshipped. But not only did she reach way down, or he reached way down for a foreigner, but number two, let me say this, he reached down to be her friend. That verse says that, verse number 13. If you'll find verse number 13, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Let me get you the point real quick. You forgot about the table. Boaz, all his reaper, all his Jewish buddies. I don't know why she's sitting at our table. She don't need to be sitting at our table. She didn't like us.
Yep, that's right.
She don't look like us. She don't believe in the same God we believe in. I don't even know. Surely he ain't gonna let her stay here. Surely.
Come on now.
Boaz gets more, bypasses all them, and gives it to her.
Amen.
He was friendly unto her. When nobody else was friendly to her, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. And when nobody else will befriend you, nobody else will like you, nobody else will talk to you, I know a heavenly Father that will befriend you and be better to you than anybody has ever been to you in your life. Friendly. Well, let me get to this. Verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. This is what he said. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come now hither, eat bread, dip the morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed. He reached unto her to a foreigner. He reached her to become her friend. And he reached down to her so she could be filled. He even told her, said, look here, don't even go to another field. There ain't no sense in going to another field. You can find all you want right here in mine. How many of you have tried other fields and they left you empty and hungry? You've tried other fields. You've tried out there in the world, and all it gave you is empty promises and broken dreams. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that says, you'll come eat in this field. You'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. I got more for you. You don't have to look nowhere else. I got it all for you right here. And you will be filled. Don't go glean in another field. You'll come back hungry. Samuel, what does that song say? Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. Hang on. Now my heart does rejoice since I made him my choice. In the tempest to him I then flee, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm. When he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, I like it. I like it. Let me give you this last one right here. He reached down to a foreigner. He reached down to become her friend. He reached down so she could be filled. And he reached down so he could change her future. All right. Set it up. Fix the clothes. No amens. Moabite girl. Gentile. Dog. Come from a low place. Matthew. Go over there. I think I got it on there. Matthew chapter 1. Read this. Look at this first verse. The book of the generation of who? We're fixing to read where he come from. The genealogy. The generation of Jesus Christ. Son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. You with me? Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. Y'all were wondering, say, well, I don't know why in the world did God put all this stuff in here. This is boring stuff. Begat so-and-so-and-so, and Judah begat Phares, and Zerah, Tamar, and Phares begat Eshram, and Eshram begat Aram. Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nason, and Nason begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab last week. And Boaz begat Obed of... And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the... How in the world did a woman from Moab, a Gentile, get wrote in the Bible in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? She found a kinsman redeemer who was willing, who was next of kin, and he had the means to do it. And she got into the family of God. I know you don't see your name here, but this is a physical genealogy. I'm in the spiritual genealogy. Hallelujah. Sammy's coming to the piano. Let me tell you this story. One of my favorite preachers, one of my favorite preachers of all time is Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly, if you've never, you ought to look him up. Old time. Now look, if you're used to that quiet, laid back, you know, stay behind the pulpit and that, you know, some of those guys are fine. That's wonderful. That's just not the way I was raised. Son, I was raised on hacking, spitting, sweating, jumping on the pews, Baptist. It wasn't Pentecostal. I get accused of being Pentecostal sometime, but I'm just a happy Baptist. Billy Kelly went to visit one of his friends. They're sitting on the front porch watching his little son and little dog run around in the front yard. Billy Kelly, they were trying to have a conversation, him and his friend there. They're sitting on the front porch in rocking chairs. And Billy Kelly kept watching that boy and his dog. He said, that dog is just won't leave that boy aside. That boy, and he kept interrupting. He said, mister, I know you're trying to tell me a story, but I've never seen a bond between a boy and a dog like that. I ain't never seen. That daddy looked at Billy Kelly and said, I'm going to tell you why that dog won't leave my boy's side. That was a few years ago. We had an old septic tank in the back, and it was tearing up, and we had to open that thing up, and we was trying to pump it out and fix it. And he said, old stray dog run through here. Old stray dog, we ain't ever seen him before in his life. He run through here. My boy's out here riding his bike. That old stray dog come through here, didn't realize the septic tank was open, and he fell down in that septic tank. That dog was trying to swim out of that thing. The man, he didn't care much for dogs and didn't know the dog. His little son come by there and says, Daddy, we got to get him. Yeah. That daddy said, son, I'm going to tell you, I like dogs too, but I ain't going down in that septic tank. If you want him, you can go down there and get him if you want him. So his daddy got a ladder. He stuck it down that septic tank. That boy got on that ladder and climbed down in that septic tank. Waist high. To grab that dog, just trust him. That boy grabbed that dog. That dog started hugging up to him. He climbed up on that ladder and got out. Took him over and got some water hose and soap. Started washing that dog off. Started washing that dog. Got him all clean. And he said, "Preacher, you know something?" He said, "Ever since my son dug that dog out of that septic tank, he won't leave his side. There's a bond between him and that dog I ain't never seen before. He won't leave his side. If somebody come in this yard, that dog would kill him before they got that boy." And you're thinking, "Boy, that's an awful story to tell right before we go eat." God looked down to this world, to an old septic tank, to a bunch of people that's about to go down for the last time. God the Father looks over at the Son. He says, "If you want them, you're going to have to go down there and get them. Son, if you want them, you have to go down there and get them." God the Father put a ladder. And Jesus Christ came down to this septic tank in Bethlehem's manger to a bunch of people just trying to make it. About to go down for the last time. And he reached way down. And he picked you up. He went and got a water hose and some blood and started washing you off. Ever since he picked me up out of that septic tank, I don't want to leave his side. I'll fight for him. You say, "Preacher, why you talk so straight about the Bible?" I'm fighting for him. I don't care about being politically correct. I won't be Bible correct. Because there was a God in heaven that came down this septic tank and went way down and picked me up. Sammy, give me that chorus right there. "He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Did he come to where you was?" Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I pray let's help somebody. A story of redemption, the story of Ruth.